From the Art Center in Carrboro, this is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater, a program that has fascinating guests, lively talk and conversation, community news, storytelling, and a look at our local entertainment scene. Good radio and always a few surprises. Now here's Claudio.
Good morning, and I know I'm a little late in saying this, but Happy New Year. We're back in the studio. Claudio Speakeasy in Radio Theater. I have with me this morning director Rob Underhill, who's going to catch us up on what he's been up to since his trip to Hawaii, as well as the film No Child. Also, bluegrass aficionado Ron Brown. We're going to play some of his tunes, and he's going to catch us up with some projects he's got lined up. So good morning, folks, and thank you for being here. Thanks for tuning us in. I'm going to start with Rob brought me back. Let me turn my mic up a little. Rob brought me back some souvenirs from Hawaii. I commonly ask friends whenever they take a journey to bring me back something indigenous to the island, like rocks or something. And I've got this whole little stone altar built at home in dedication to friendships and my own travels as well. And you brought me back some gorgeous pieces. Cue us in as to what Hawaii was all about for you.
Sure. It was pretty... I wasn't sure exactly what to expect. I know people go, you know, halfway around the world to go to Hawaii.
Yeah, right.
And it's in the middle of, you know, literally nowhere. So you have to take a flight in. It takes many, many hours. So it's got to be something to it. And it really is as magical as everyone imagines it is.
What even got you to go there?
Well, the short story is that my folks have a timeshare there, and they offered it up for the week. And so headed out, and... it became a wonderful place to go on adventures. So you got to have this home base, get cleaned up, you have a shower, and then you get to go out and get dirty on the trails because they have the most amazing. They're also very they're very difficult trails. These are ones you do a lot of hiking.
A little challenging, okay.
Yeah, you go up a lot of steep hikes, but everything's worth it. It's a beautiful place.
You go up a fat guy and you come back slim and trim.
That's right.
So do you remember the places you went to?
I do. Well, I pretty much... So we got a rental car, and we just toured the whole island, did a few laps of Oahu.
Do they drive on the left or the right?
It's all on the right. It's the United States.
Yeah, it's yours. So, right.
but it's funny you say that, because the first thing when you land there is you think you're in this kind of strange new land, and it really does feel like you're in a different place. But then
I'm sure.
See the familiar road signs that are the same style you're used to. But it was great to have a rental car to go to all these the whole island, because all parts of the island are so... unique and interesting. The West Coast is all rocky shores. The East Coast is all sandy shores for the whole stretch of it.
So each one's a different world in a sense.
A lot of different worlds there, and it's great to have a way to get around to those different places.
And I noticed that the rocks you gave me, beautiful, by the way, thank you, definitely strike me as being volcanic.
Absolutely, and they also come from two very different parts of the island. So one rock, there's a light-colored rock that we got while visiting the rocky shores of the West Coast, rocky and sandy, but it's really beautiful for its what almost looks like sheets of rock for beaches.
You can tell
it was from volcanic action. It's less noticeable on the East Coast, where it's a lot of beaches, a lot of people tent right there on the beaches. A lot of people are surfing. You get the big swells. And also they have a lot of the best trails on the East Coast that are accessible for just hiking right up and checking things out. So the other rock I got, you came from the East Coast while going up a really wonderful trail called, I'm going to probably not pronounce this the way I should as a Hawaiian, but it's the way I pronounce it is Yolomai Trail. And it's a place where you can't, they have no official parking spot. You have to kind of just park by the bridge and hope your car doesn't get broken into, which happened to me.
Yours got broken into?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So someone said, hey, you got to be careful on this trail because if you park... nearby, there are people that will take break into your car. Luckily, there was insurance on the car, so no loss of funds when I brought it back. But
robbed in Hawaii.
Yes.
Well, on that note, I'm going to switch over to Ronnie Brown for a minute here, our bluegrass man, and catch up with you. I know you've recorded some new songs, and you're working on a whole new collection as well as writing something. But catch us up with what's going on.
Well, I've recorded three that I've written, and I've got some more that five or six more that I need to record.
Not to mention an entire album out already.
Oh, yes. But the album that's out already is the ones that I robbed from somebody else.
Okay. So now he's getting into writing his own, but you did a great job on those. I noticed you recorded something by, well, what's that artist we both like so much that I told you reminds me of Bob Dylan? The song you've just been working on. I would forget the name right as I'm about to mention it. But anyway, Souvenirs, I believe, was the name of the song.
Yes.
And you just are you including that on a future album?
Yes, I think so. Yes.
Gotcha. And I'll try to remember the darn name. I can't believe I forgot it.
Well, me too.
somebody you all know very well. And what are some of the new pieces you're working on?
Well, I'm working on one about a trip I made to New Orleans, believe it or not.
All
you
right.
were talking about that this morning in 1962. And how things were down there during that time, that's the main one I'm
just
going to
go into sort
time.
Of the New Orleans atmosphere.
Yes.
Yeah. On that same note, what Ronnie was just referring to, us talking about before the show started, I'm putting together a piece right now working with Bob Crowley, who is editing a lot of news photographs from that time. And we're putting it to my recording of Mud in Your Eye, which is about Katrina wiping out New Orleans. So that should be on YouTube pretty soon. He's found some really amazing, though heartbreaking, photographs of that time. And it goes really well with the performance piece because my performance piece actually points out to these things that happen. And here's footage of what I was talking about. Tough time. On that note, why don't we go to a little tune, Rocco?
Community Radio for Chapel Hill and Carrboro. This is 103.5 WCOM.
I've been walking all day and I'm nearly done. I can see by your gravestone you were only 19 when you joined the great fall of 1916. I hope you died quick and I hope you died clean. Young Willie McBride was as slow and obscene. Did they beat the drum slowly? Did they play the pipe slowly? Did the sound of death march as it lowered you down? Did the band play the last waltz and chorus? Did the pipes play the flowers of the forest? Behind, and some fateful heart is your memory and shrine. And although you died back in 1916, and that fateful heart, you're forever 19. Did they beat the drum slowly? Did they play the pipe slowly? Did the sound of death march as it lowered you down? Did the band play the last waltz and chorus? Did the pipes play the flowers of the forest? Did they beat the drum slowly? Did they play the pipes slowly? Did the sound of death march as the Lord you down? Did the band play the last waltzing chorus? Did the pipes play the flowers of the forest?
Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater.
The world of science is endlessly fascinating. and some of the world's most significant science is going on right here in the Triangle. This is Ernie Hood. Join me Wednesdays at 11 a.m. for Radio En Vivo, your link to the Triangle Science Community, right here on WCOM LP FM.
103.5 FM, WCOM, fun, fresh, live, and local, the way radio used to be. We're community radio, serving Carrboro and Chapel Hill, and listeners online at WCOMFM.org. Now back to Claudio.
And that fine piece of bluegrass music you just heard was Willie McBride, as performed by Ronnie Brown, bluegrass musician. And the singer that I was trying to think of that we both were was John Prine.
Yes, John Prine.
And he wrote the song Souvenir, and you've done a great job on that, but you haven't recorded it yet.
Right.
I've been listening to it. We were talking about something very interesting this morning about how that one can't just store musical instruments, but you have to get up, even if they are gathering dust, and just play them once in a while. And I like the way you sort of told that story about putting the music back in them. Run that down for me.
Yes, that was a man that I knew some time ago, and he worked on musical instruments. Very good. And my friend bought a bass fiddle from him, and he said, it doesn't sound good. It doesn't have a good sound. He said, you got to play it. You got to put the music back into it.
Been sitting around too long. Yeah, I love that.
Right.
I like that idea. Put the music back into
it. And it worked.
No doubt. And there was also the other perspective that we discussed, how some classical musicians, in order to keep their varied instruments sort of flexible, will store it in a temperature-controlled room, especially the really expensive ones, and actually play classical music at a certain level just to sort of keep the instruments humming, to keep the music in the instrument, so to speak.
Right.
But the best thing is actually to play them and to keep them in tune.
Yes.
I just thought that was an interesting, that was a nice way to greet the day this morning with that idea. I hope everybody out there is having a happy new year and that things look a lot more prosperous. I know that politically things aren't getting much better. We can just sort of hope for the best by kicking some butt. So I really think we need to stand up to our politicians and make sure they know what their jobs are. I'm getting the real strong impression that this whole thing with Obamacare is just a way of letting the fat cats tap into our tax base and take money whether we like it or not, because I don't really see much more of a remedy. Nothing's gotten cheaper. Nothing's more affordable. They can still take your house and home if you get sick. So don't kid yourself. It's nothing near socialized medicine. If you want that, you got to go to Cuba. Anyway, that's just my thought for the morning. Back to you, Rob Underhill. At least we're getting friendly with the Cubans again.
Absolutely.
Hey, Hemingway, you can come back now. So what is happening with the film No Child, speaking of Hemingway?
Sure, yeah, and of course, Claudio, you play the role of Hemingway in the film No Child.
I loved it too, man.
We loved having you on the production. You brought a lot of value, and of course, you wrote the monologue, which closes the whole film in a brilliant fashion. Yeah, at this point, we've got the film completed. We've got a little bit of animation we're adding to the beginning.
I was going to ask you to explain the animation thing, because it sounds like you're breaking new ground here.
Yeah. What's cool and what always has to be done in a film is you need to make it, obviously, so it connects with people and so it's professional and it looks and sounds great. But also, you always want to add some new twists, which give it a zing that you can't get anywhere else. You know, I don't want it to be something you can watch on TV. I want it to be something special that you would want to go to the theater to watch or go to a film festival and watch. And so what we're doing with the opening credits is we've got an animator who's designing the credits to be, again, as a single line, and that'll draw into the characters. Then it'll draw out of the characters into the credit. Or credits, and then it'll continue that process until every character and situation has been introduced.
Sounds pretty amazing. Who is this artist?
Jamie Andrews.
Andrews.
Yep, and she's in Raleigh. We've worked with her before.
Fascinating.
On several projects. She's a wonderful artist who won the Raw Artist of the Year last year for her jewelry, actually.
Oh, really?
But her and her husband both are wonderful animators and illustrators. And have done a lot of work in the industry for the short amount of time they've been working on it. So we're excited to have her on the project. And so that'll be the opening credits. The closing credits will be kind of a traditional scrolling credit, except for all the credits will be handwritten style.
Oh, wow.
And with some little catches. Because what happens is you watch credits and you don't know what you're seeing. It's just a bunch of rolling names.
That's true, yeah.
So what I think is clever is when films will take the effort to kind of point out what you're really looking at.
So that's a wonderful idea.
Just for instance, there's this other wonderful feature film called Pieces of Talent, filmed in North Carolina, and they actually have these little brackets which tell you what these names are about on the side, and they have little written notes on the side so you know what you're looking at, which I thought was pretty clever.
Like looking at a rough manuscript?
Yeah, or like just Clips notes. Like, this, by the way, is what these credits mean. Perfect. And I thought that was cute, and so I kind of want to draw from that a little bit, and also we'll have little animated figures. Not like the beginning elaborate ones, right, but like little ones that, for instance, Hemingway will maybe cast out a fishing pole.
All right. You
know, and maybe it'll snare on something down the credits a little ways that'll do something else. And so that's the idea.
He'll catch the old man who's drowning in the sea, right?
Could be, yeah.
Fell off the boat.
Yeah, so that's the animation.
That sounds fascinating.
But back to your first part of your question. The film is completed. We're waiting on those, but we're going to start the process. We've just got funding for submitting it to some of the big film festivals, and we're going to try to find the best world premiere location for it. So we're looking for that Sundance or that St. Louis, which I was at last year.
And when you say world premiere, explain how that works.
Sure. So each film will have a the first place it plays publicly, which will be a lot of times at like Cannes or Sundance or one of these type of film festivals. That will be the world premiere. And that'll that sort of sets the standard for it. So,
and of course, let me just interrupt for a moment. You, everybody in the business realizes that when you're invited to Cannes Film Festival, you've made it, because that really puts you into the brew with the rest of the greats. Mm. So I have to congratulate you, because you were invited to Cannes Film Festival last year.
Yeah, it was last May. Was it, I believe, was right? It?
Yeah. I'll make sure I'm getting my years right here.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that experience. And I also had a film at St. Louis, which is another Academy qualifying festival, just last November.
Fantastic.
And so we've had some work circulating. And that's kind of how you want to start, because that'll set the stage. And then everyone that looks at your work after that will take it that much more seriously. And so it's really important for artists to have the first starting point be as big as possible.
And to say world premiere, that suggests that it will eventually sort of trickle worldwide, or how is that?
Well, that just means it's the first screening in the entire world.
Okay.
After that, you can have your North American premiere, and then you can have your European premiere.
Gotcha.
Then you can come all the way down to the Carborough premiere.
Yes. So and of course, you were part of this this year, last year.
Yep. This last November was the Carborough Film Festival, and I had two works in that. Brag and East, which is a police drama based in Raleigh, and also Running in Place by Mario Ferro, who is also known as Mario Sky Blue. It's a hip-hop artist right here in Carborough.
Oh, really? Okay. Yes. I don't think I've seen that, so it must be something new you've put out.
Yep, and that's something that it's a music video. It's really a wonderful social commentary, and the artist is right here in town, so people should look up Mario Sky Blue.
All right. And I also want to mention that you had put up a little bit of footage that you were putting together from a documentary about my life artistically.
Absolutely.
And it was me performing Lizard Lick while leaning on the mayor of Lizard Lick himself, who came by for the shoot. And Robert put that up on Vimeo, but we've since put it up on YouTube in my name. So just look for Ode to Lizard Lick, and you can see some of Rob Underhill's footage.
And you, of course, are going to have a YouTube page up pretty soon to start showcasing work. And
I've got the YouTube page up, so that's the one item on it. Ode to Lizard Lick. But I've got to learn how to use this, and I'm probably going to be bending your ear to learn.
Absolutely.
How to create my own channel. Mm-hmm. Sounds like I own a small country, man. Ronnie, back to you. We're going to go to another one of your tunes. Give us what's the title to the second one there?
Here in the future.
Here in the future. Give us a little description of what that suggests.
Well, you know, we run a tool and die shop, and the equipment runs by a computer, and everything was so strange to me, and my son kept saying, things are strange here in the future. So I said, well, that'd be a good song.
And like the day that you slipped into when you were born, that's for sure, it changes.
Oh, yes.
And this Tool and Die Company, by the way, it's in Broadway, North Carolina, and the back part of it, it's a good size, and the very back part of it, he's got a performance stage, and there are the musicians jamming there two or three days a week on a regular basis.
Yes.
I know you've got one particular night that you dedicate to that, and what night is that?
Monday nights. Yes.
So and it's basically free to anybody who wants to come in, and the place is always packed. Listen to these guys jam.
What time does it happen?
7 o'clock.
All right.
7 o'clock any Monday night in Broadway. Just look for BMF Tool and Die. And now we're going to the name.
Here in the Future.
Here in the Future with Ronnie Brown.
By now, something there up in this ground to plow. Rise and shine, it's time to make. make a day. My words burned in my memory of a place and time that used to be. Turned around and it went away. In the summertime with a fishing pole, I'd go down to the maple and meet there with some friends I used to know. Sometimes we'd be there all night, hear the birds sing at daylight, sit on the banks and watch the waters flow. Things sure are stranger in the future. The mules are gone and the barn has fallen down. There's an air conditioner on the tractor and old friends are hard to be found. Country store, I'd hear men talk about the war. They winded what they had to do. They'd talk about the Depression era, CC camps and where they were, and hard times in 1932. When Saturday night would come around, we'd get in the car and go to town. Watch the cowboys on the silver screen. Tommy D would rattle down to paradise to see Miss Ann, the prettiest woman that I've ever seen. Things sure are stranger in the future. The mules are gone and the barn has fallen down. There's an air conditioner on the tractor and old friends are hard to be found.
From Chapel Hill in Carrboro, this is WCOM Community Radio. We bring the community to listeners like you. Now back to Claudio's Speakeasy and Radio Theater.
And I'm going back to Rob. What you just heard was Ronnie Brown doing his bluegrass thing. Any favorite things about last year that you might like to mention, or anything unusual? I sort of want to go around and say a little something about the year gone by.
Yeah, it is kind of the almost the New Year's resolution time, right?
Yeah, right.
And I've gotten into the practice of not doing one.
That was my resolution. Yes.
And I guess I always have a little something that I think about for that. But as far as overall, I just had a wonderful year, did lots of wonderful projects. No Child was which you play Hemingway.
Yeah, that was a wonderful one.
A big part of 2014. I had my chance to go to the Cannes for the first time and St. Louis and some other really a lot of really fabulous film festivals. Mm-hmm. Another one is Julien Dubuque, which is a fantastic film festival. Had my work there.
Where is that?
That's in Dubuque, Iowa.
Iowa. Okay.
And interesting quick story is Henry Ford was considering Detroit and also Dubuque, Iowa. And the carriage makers in Dubuque, Iowa didn't want anything to do with him, and so he went to
Detroit.
Good
for them. See what could have happened to you?
It could have been an eyesore by now, of course, if he had gone to Dubuque. Because right now it's a beautiful place to go, beautiful city.
No doubt.
But so I did a lot of wonderful work, and that was my, I guess, my favorite thing about that year.
I would say, and quite conspicuously so, because you're always doing something, but it's not necessarily always on the public radar.
That's right.
This last year was.
Yeah, and really can't be, in my opinion, until you're ready to show the artwork. So,
right.
Like when you do some of your artwork, Claudio, you want to wait until it's complete, and then you showcase it to folks or do an exhibit. Same with film. You want to make sure it's ready to be seen. Test audiences are okay, but I don't want general people to check things out until it's just right.
You don't want to have to force it, for one thing. People always ask me when I sit down to write something, if I have a particular approach, if I have a particular formula. My formula is to wait for the inspiration.
Rob, would you say that No Child is your most significant work so far?
Well, I like to think that every new work is kind of the most significant for just overall artistic reasons, because the level of artistry goes up. Film, a lot of people don't understand, is such a collaborative group effort. And so there's so many skills that go into directing. It's not just Sure, I'm bringing some of my artistic talent to it, but I'm also focusing other people's artistic talents in better and better ways with each project. And so I think that that's a really wonderfully paced, dynamic work, and that's the part I like the most about it.
That's a hell of a good answer.
Thanks.
I want to let you know, folks, this show is being brought to you by the Historic Carolina Theater of Durham as well as the Apex Arts Council. And Ronnie, I'm going to bounce over to you. Anything you want to remember the year for?
Oh.
The year gone by.
Just a year older.
Oh, there's more to your life than that, old boy.
Yeah, I made a lot of good music last year and met some new friends. And
Actually, you were considering about building a, creating some kind of a band, aren't you?
Yes, we're working on it. Still need to do a little work, you know. So
still in the audition process,
yes,
is it?
Still working on it.
Gotcha.
Oh, yes.
So anything in particular that stood out about the year to you?
No, I don't think anything in particular.
Just
can't think of anything.
Regular old tool and die stuff and the jam sessions.
Yeah.
When you're doing something fun every week, you don't have to point it out.
There
That's
you
true.
Go.
Good. But I'd definitely like to see you do some more John Prine songs because I like the way you handled Souvenirs.
Well, thank you. I've enjoyed doing that. It's a great song.
Well, let's go to one more of Ronnie's tunes. Ronnie, what's the title of this one? It's number three on that the new stuff.
Let's see. Number three. What is number three?
There we go.
Drawing a blank.
I believe it's The Ferry.
The Ferry.
The Ferry. That's
yes.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We actually walked the trail that inspired him to write this.
That's...
Tune to your community radio station, 103.5 FM, WCOM-LP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro.
This is WCOM live and local right here in Carrboro and Chapel Hill. Now a moment of Claudio's Radio Theater.
I came across this thing called Snipes Lament, written by that old famous Anonymous. This guy really should have put his name on here. I don't know why that happened. Maybe it blew away in the wind. I have no idea. But this is, to me, being a seafarer, a necessary perspective when you consider ships at sea. It's called Snipes' Lament. I think it's actually quite a famous piece, although I just came across it. Now each of us from time to time has gazed upon the sea and watched the mighty warships pulling out to keep this country free. And most of us have read a book or heard a lusty tale about these men who sail these ships through lightning, wind, and hail. But there's a place within each ship that legends fail to teach. It's down below the waterline, and it takes a living toll. A hot metal living hell that sailors call the hole. It houses engines run with steam that makes the shafts go round. A place of fire, noise, and heat that beats your spirits down. Where boilers like a hellish heart with blood of angry steam are molded gods without remorse, are nightmares in a dream. Whose threat from the fire's roar is like a living doubt that any moment with such scorn might escape and crush you out. Where turbines scream like tortured souls alone and lost in hell, and ordered from above somewhere, they answer every bell. The men who keep the fires lit and make the engines run are strangers to the light and rarely see the sun. They have no time for man or god, no tolerance for fear. Their aspect pays no living thing a tribute of a tear. For there's not much that men can do that these men haven't done, beneath the decks, deep in the hole, to make the engines run. And every hour of every day they keep the watch in hell. For if the fires ever fail, their ship's a useless shell. When ships converge to have a war upon an angry sea, the men below just grimly smile at what their fate will be. They're locked below like men foredoomed who hear no battle cry. It's well assumed that if they're hit, the men below will die. For every day is a war down there when gauges all read red. 1,200 pounds of heated steam can kill you mighty dead. So if you ever write their songs or try to tell their tale, the very words would make you hear a fired furnace's wail. And people, as a general rule, don't hear of these men of steel, so little heard about this place that sailors call the hole. But I can sing about this place and try to make you see the hardened life of the men down there, 'cause one of them is me. I've seen these sweat-soaked heroes fight in superheated air to keep their ships alive and right, though no one knows they're there. And thus they'll fight for ages on till warships sail no more amid the boiler's mighty heat and the turbine's hellish roar. So when you see a ship pull out to meet a warlike foe, remember faintly, if you can, the men who sail below.
Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. I'd like to tell you that your host Claudio is available as a poet with a one-man band for house concerts, performing original, traditional, and literary readings. Claudio is well known as a classical poet and master storyteller. His website is claudioarts.com. Now back to Claudio.
And, that was my first run-through with that one. I should have rehearsed it a few times.
First one of the year, Claudio.
Yes, first one of the year. But a perspective that I think we should all take to heart.
Powerful visuals. I could see the events unfolding in the belly of a ship.
Yeah.
And it's a howling and scary thing, even on a good day, I would imagine.
Yeah, they're always in the hole. They, like I said, they rarely see the sun. I think I'm actually going to make that piece a part of my Seafarer's performance.
I think it's a fantastic piece.
It's a perspective that's missing with a lot of people. It's just like when I wrote my book and I had my friend Miles Martell, who's himself an author. He teaches communication skills, and he was Ronald Reagan's communications counsel. I asked him to write the foreword for Seafarers, and he says, I shall do that, but there's one more thing you need to do. You've got this whole book of maritime lore, but you haven't said a thing about the stink, the smell. So I had to write a piece about that before he wrote the foreword. Back to you, Rob. I think we've analyzed most things about No Child. We were talking. The one thing I had mentioned to some friends is that you'd asked me, and I was very honored, by the way, to do the poster design. And I was going to ask you, because I haven't actually asked you in person, what gave you the idea to ask me in the first place?
Well, you had mentioned you had some work that was really fitting for it, and of course, I'd seen a lot of your work as we were talking about doing some documentary work on your life and your work. And so I had a chance to go over and spend time with describing your work and showing it. And it really seemed like the conflicted protagonist in the story, Will, And then Hemingway, with his own conflictions, is sort of touched on in an interesting way in the film. And I felt like some of the work that you were doing shows this conflict or this...
symbolically, perhaps, in some respects.
So. Absolutely. You know, and it's all about overcoming your demons. And, of course, time and again, Hemingway does in his history. And, of course, our character Will does as he tries to as he tries to grow up, in a way of speaking. So No Child is a lot about growing up and facing your fears and overcoming them. And so I felt like your artwork was very representative of that. So I was happy to have you on board
Thank you. There's actually a couple of lines that I came up with here. This will not necessarily be on the poster, but it will give you an idea of the spirit of the work. Conquering one's addictions and inadequacies is definitely part of the theme of No Child. And I use this quote here from Ernest Hemingway himself. Always do sober what you said you'd do drunk. That will teach you to keep your mouth shut. Ernest Hemingway.
That's a very fitting quote. It's and we actually used that quote a couple times in the film. And one thing that inspired it is Will, the lead character, and also the executive producer of the film, he came up with the original concept. And then we were sitting just talking about doing the script. We saw that quote in the bar. It was actually one of the quotes at a bar.
Was it engraved?
Engraved, yeah. So it was like at this bar in North Raleigh that had all these engravings of these different famous quotes. And we just happened to sit right in front of the one with that Hemingway quote.
I'll be darned.
And it was so fitting because we'd already decided we're using Hemingway, of course, but we didn't know we were going to use that quote until I think that moment. That's when it got stuck in my head to make it work.
And it's such a simple line, and yet there's so much to it.
There's a lot of meaning, especially, you know, we're in a kind of a college town, and a lot of people have experienced drinking. And
or are still experiencing it. Part of growing up, right?
Yeah, and we just had New Year's, and everyone can kind of have a story to tell about their experience when they had a little too much on New Year's. And hopefully they've all been safe. But this quote does... really something people can all associate with.
Mm-hmm.
You
know, no doubt. An easy Hemingway conveyance.
That's right.
You know, it's really amazing. I think people, you can actually buy books that have just purely Hemingway quotes.
Oh, yeah.
So I think some critics or reviewers must have gone through his materials because these are not books he published. Mm-hmm. They just went through all of his stories and took to their favorite lines.
That's right.
One of which was that one. So it's amazing how things get put together in life. I do want to mention that Will couldn't be here today. He was having car trouble. I hope you get it fixed, buddy, in case you're listening. I hope it's not going to be an inconvenience for too long. But he will be back again with us next week. And Will is actually undergoing training from Rocco to step in for me whenever Rocco can't make it because he's got dwellings to consider in other parts of the state that he frequently has to visit, right?
You are absolutely right, Claudio. I'd like to say a few things about WCOM here in the past year. It's been a big year for us here at WCOM. As you know, Undercurrents is now part of the station.
And which is actually piped in from California or somewhere?
From Utah.
Utah, okay.
And it's on any time our people cannot make it on the air,
right?
Basically.
Unless we're playing a rerun.
Exactly. And it, I believe, has elevated the station. It has.
Good to know.
Because it's done very well, it's very professional, and it features contemporary music.
Is it primarily music, or is it also talk?
It's 95% music. I'd say even 98%.
I know our president, Bill, is very fond of it.
He is. And Undercurrents kind of fills in the gaps at the community radio station professionally, and it features, as I said, the music that's popular today or in the past 20 years, from basically 1990 up to today. And I think it's added quite a bit to the station. And
no doubt about that. I've actually heard quite a bit of commentary about that.
And the fellow who produces it and hosts it, his name is Clyde McVicker, and he does a good job with it. So, listeners, if you are listening to WCOM and you hear something that you believe is piped in, it is. and he does a good job with the show.
Just to make sure we have no dead air when there's nobody here.
Exactly.
That's the main idea behind that.
And as you know, we're on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Right, nonstop. I want to ask you, what are some of the things that stood out for you in our last year?
In our last year with the station?
Just in general.
Well, I think we've had a number of high-powered guests on the air, from congressmen and ambassadors and writers, poets. We've had
film directors, musicians.
Film directors. If someone could take all of the good, intelligent, guests that we've had on that are just talented and in powerful positions in the community, in the state, and it would show that this station has something for everyone.
Truly,
it really does.
Truly a place of merit. In some cases, some of these politicians you're referring to are actually students in classes you taught many moons ago, right?
Well, I used to be in the school business for years, starting in the 1960s.
Went from being a professional DJ out New York way and then became a school principal. And so he's been a teacher on every level of his psyche.
Pretty much. And I cannot believe how long things took place years ago that I look back on. I was talking to Ronnie here, and we were playing some music that we didn't think you would be familiar with, like The Lonely Surfer. You probably never heard that.
I have, but I think there are some folks here younger than me, yes.
Yeah, Rob would be too young to remember that. And I have a CD here that has... Oh, it has 30 instrumentals on it, and half of them were huge hits, but they're unfamiliar to the younger group of people out there now.
No doubt. Of course, they could catch up with a lot of that kind of stuff on your show on every Saturday morning from, what is it, 9 to noon?
9 to noon. Last Saturday was my anniversary show.
Oh, really? Okay.
It was 10 years that I first went on with Music Hall here at WCOM. It was 10 years ago.
And I have to say, you've always kind of reminded me with your show, your style, and not to compare you to the person because you're certainly your own soul, but it has always sort of taken me back to Casey Kasem.
Well, that's a compliment.
I used to live for Casey Kasem when I lived in the Caribbean. I would listen to the 3 hours of, the best music.
I remember when no one ever heard of Casey Kasem.
Yeah.
Because I first went on the air in 1961.
Has he passed away or is he still with us?
He passed away.
I thought he did, yeah.
And 61 was Ronnie. How many years ago? 54 years ago.
He always did what was called the music countdown of all of I think it was about sometimes as many as 50 different songs.
Yeah, the
and
top
the last
40,
one was the,
top
was the best
songs.
Yeah, so
the number one hit. And I think music back then in the 50s, 60s, and the 40s,
70s even.
Exactly. It had more impact, more power. If
yeah.
you had a number one hit in this country, everybody was humming it. They were familiar with it. You couldn't get away from it.
Right.
Because of AM radio. And if somebody like Elvis Presley had a number one hit, everybody knew what it was.
No doubt, or the Beatles.
Or that. The Beatles or countless others.
Yeah.
So things have changed.
Yeah. And attention spans have diminished. They become much briefer and briefer. So I think we have to be in our own artistic efforts. We have to find a way to accommodate the fact that the attention span is short, so make what you put out very potent.
Yeah, or you just have to tell a story in kind of a new way. That's why with No Child I wanted to make sure there was a lot of depth, but also a lot of activity, so it's not dwelling on one scene too long.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Not too long of a conversation, just kind of moving the story in different ways. We can tell just as long of a story, but engaging the whole way.
And I was impressed when we had the premiere at the School of the Arts, or I guess you wouldn't call it a premiere. What would it be called?
Well, that's called a sneak preview screening or a
there
friends and family screening. So, yeah, you don't want to give away the world premiere.
Let me not, let me not break the menu up here. But I was impressed that we had a room full of audience, and many of them, most of them, I dare say, were school teachers of some sort, and they all had a very, very positive response to it.
Yeah, I love that because, of course, No Child Left Behind is an element
based on
of the film because the boy's trying to pass that test, third grade test,
right.
to move on, and that's what Will's job is, to tutor him. And so while the kid is getting lessons to grow, Will himself is learning lessons to grow up from his problems with alcoholism and despondency.
So in a sense, the kid is getting a real dose of life by looking at the teacher.
Yeah, and then meanwhile, the teacher is being influenced by the kid and his progress to also find progress in his own life. So
He looks to Hemingway as his personal mentor because of things Hemingway overcame, and so that created my dream state presence.
Yeah. So yeah, I was just thinking that it's funny that the Rocco talks about how some of these big hits in the 60s are something that we don't know anymore. And I'm just thinking how Mel Gibson's becoming someone that people don't know anymore. And that's,
which is amazing. Yeah, right.
And so I was born in the 70s, and I find that impossible. But
from Mad Max to Braveheart to Forgotten, huh?
Yeah. So it's just fascinating how things come and go.
Yeah.
Well, on the news, I believe a week or so ago, there was one of the network newscasters asking young children who Paul McCartney was. And they had no idea. I mean, these were kids in junior high school, and they don't know who Paul McCartney was.
Yeah.
Now, they've heard of the Beatles, but not as individuals.
Yeah, I see that. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that he's standing out like crazy now. I think he's considered the number one entertainer in the world, uniquely enough. But so they're bound to come into revelation as to who he is. But you're right. The Beatles are known much more than individuals.
The individuals, especially to
even Ringo Starr. Of course. Mentioned.
But if you were to ask that question, who's Ringo Starr to a 12-year-old or 14-year-old person, they very well might not know who it is.
Kind of makes you realize nothing lasts forever. Mm-hmm. Why don't we go to a tune on that note?
Would you want to hear Ronnie or something different?
Let's go for something a little different, as much as I love hearing Ronnie, but I think we'll break it up with a little jazz or whatever you brought.
Well, this is something that was very popular in the 60s. And since you were talking about Hawaii,
Boy.
Here we go. Listening to 103.5 WCOM, Chapel Hill, Carrboro. WCOM is also heard online at WCOMFM.org.
You're tuned to 103.5 FM, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill, Carrboro. Están escuchando a 103.FM, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill, Carrboro. Thanks for listening to our station.
Now back to Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater.
That's such a cute sounding little girl. I know she's much older now, but that was great copy.
Yeah, that is Chris Frank's daughter,
indeed,
Molly.
I know.
And Molly's now, I believe, a sophomore in college here at UNC.
Wow. Give us a scoop on that Hawaiian piece of music that you just played for us. And it was Casey Kasem's Top 40 that I used to listen to. You reminded me.
Well, that song was called Quiet Village, and it came out in 1964.
I was still in Africa, yeah.
And it was number 3 on the Billboard charts. Very popular. If you had a number 3 hit record,
I'd say that's big time.
1963, yeah. Everybody was listening to it in the country back then. And Martin Denny went on to do other things, but he never did anything that became that popular. And Ronnie and I are shaking our heads here. We remember when that was popular, and it was just out there.
That makes me feel like a young guy in the room. What you got to say, Ronnie? Looked like you had something on your lips.
I don't know. I was just remembering back in the good old days.
Yeah. You and I are on the verge of putting a lot of our material on YouTube. That's something we might as well tell the public.
We're working on it, yes.
Ronnie's had this person, I forget her name, that's been filming a lot of your performances all around the area you live in,
yep.
And she's been putting it up on YouTube, but it's all up in her name, and I've been sort of twisting his wrist. I said, you need to get this stuff in your name so that people can be hitting your stuff and possibly approach you for an advertising. So that's the game plan.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah. I've got one up so far, Ode to Lizard Lick, with the actual Lizard Lick Mayor in it, and he's quite a humorist himself. And, of course, he came to the film festival.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he liked
it. Yeah, it was great to see him out there in the crowd for No Child's preview screening. It was,
Lizard Lick legend in the crowd.
That's right.
It was great. And while Rob and I were doing the documentary on my artistic career, he showed up at my place. So he drove about 80 miles to come from Lizard Lick to my place.
Yeah, he definitely contributed a lot. And he also had his own camera. So
yes.
He gave me some
behind-the-scenes footage.
Digital clips, yep.
This is what you really look like, man.
I was just remembering a humorous moment with John Prine that I wanted to share. I was working his concert years ago at Memorial Auditorium. And the reason, the one both Ronnie and I had a mind freeze about, couldn't come up with a name, who wrote Souvenirs, that Ronnie's performing now. But he finished his performance, and he walked backstage. And I kid you not, at the time, there were a bunch of kids working in technical theater that looked like stoners. They looked like potheads. And I'm standing off to one side, just sort of waiting for my call to go on stage and break it down. And out of all the people backstage, John Prine walks right up to me and goes, you wouldn't have a joint, would you? I'll never forget that moment. So we chatted for a while, and then I went and busted up his set and put it back on the truck.
Mm-hmm.
That's the name of my John Prine tune. Anyway, so we got about 3 or 4 minutes to wrap things up. Why don't you give us some contact information for anything relating to No Child, if people want to see the premiere and so on, and we'll certainly keep them in touch about it on this show.
Yeah, to keep up with that and other projects, they can find me. Anyone can find me online at robunderhill.com. But for regular updates, I've got a Facebook page I maintain called Rob Underhill Productions. And that also is great to see what's happening in the community, because we shoot and we film in Carborough, Chapel Hill, Raleigh, Durham, the Triangle. So we're here all the time doing productions, and it's great for people to keep up with what's happening.
Absolutely.
And so that's two ways that people can be in touch.
And I've also written an extensive review on Rob Underhill's films, which is on the Apex Arts Council website under Film and Art Reviews, basically. So just look that up, and you'll get a good scoop on some movies he's put out, with pictures and all. Anything you want to add to that, Mr. Ronnie Brown? Contact information for your album and so on?
Tool and Die at windstream.net is my email address.
That's good enough.
And
yeah.
That's the best way.
I think so, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how wise it is to give out phone numbers on the public ear. You never know who's going to call you. But they can find you that way. Rocco, anything else to add for the last year or the new year?
Well, if anyone would like to hear good music for a Saturday morning,
absolutely,
listen to Music Hall, 9 to 12 noon. Just a good mix of the best in popular American music.
With your host, Rocco, at the helm. Well, folks, thank you for tuning us in. The show's been brought to you by the Historic Carolina Theater of Durham, as well as the Apex Arts Council, and we will be back here with you next week. In the meantime, thanks for tuning us in, and Happy New Year, folks.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Cheers.